The Lord is coming back for a bride, for a bride that is waiting for him. The Lord is coming back for a people who have been watching for him. The Lord is coming back for people, a bride that has prepared. And the bride in the Bible represents the church. And the church is beautiful to the Lord. Those of you who are married here today, on your wedding day, in most cases, many cases, the brides are dressed up in just beauty. And I just did a wedding a week ago, and the groom is not able to see the bride on that wedding day. And so when he sees her for the first time, and then that beautiful, beautiful wedding gown, and she's all decked out, you know, and she's made the preparations, hasn't she? And she's beautiful. And she's just got that gown on. It's just so awe-inspiring. And that groom stands there and his jaw just drops. You know? And he's just so thankful for that bride. And the two come together and they become one. And God looks at his church that way. The church is so special to him. And for that church, his love is so strong and so powerful that he gives himself up, the Bible says. He gives himself up for his bride. And you husbands would give yourself up for your bride to protect her. And in the same way, the Lord Jesus has given himself for the bride. Amen. For the church. The church is of the utmost importance to the Lord. There are so many things in this world that can distract us, that can drag us down in a sense. Wouldn't you say? And you can fill in the blanks as to what those things might be, what they might look like, and they have many different faces, wouldn't you say? And I want to ask you something, and I'm looking for some feedback here. What would some of the topics be that would cause stress? What would some of the main topics or subjects that cause stress in the home, would you say?
Money.
Yeah, right, I would have to say that's probably in the top three. What else? Infidelity. Children. Children, okay, yes. What else? Health issues. Yes, definitely. Others?
Repairs.
All right, cause stress in the home. Okay, the status of the world as it is. Yes, absolutely. Others?
Friends.
Okay. So maybe I heard friends and family, something or other. So maybe relationships. Okay. Yes, very good. Other things that would cause stress.
Stress on the job you can bring home.
Stress on the job that you can bring home. Yes. So occupational stress. Yes. Career stress. Things like that. Absolutely. Others? Strife, Yep, absolutely. Other things? Physical, yes. So let's say injury or illness, all right? Those are certainly things that would cause stress. Others?
The Bills.
The Bills. The Buffalo Bills cause stress in the home. I did not plan on that one, but yes, I would say. Oh, my goodness. I love it. Oh, I think that's really good. One that was not mentioned that I was looking through a number of different research articles and things like that, and one of the top ones, actually the top one in all of them, was death. Death in the family. All right? So the loss of a loved one, boy, that can really cause some stress. Finances, yes, was in the top three. Personal safety was one that we probably around here, we don't think a lot about. But maybe in other areas of the world or even in inner city, your personal safety, you know, you're afraid to go out or to walk the streets or go to the store or something like that. So you have that stress on you at all times. Yeah, that would certainly cause some stress. But among those, again, death, finances, marriage or divorce, all right? Children, yes, work, job loss, your career, illness, moving. Something as simple as moving. It's not simple, is it? It's not simple. Everybody hates moving. All right? You got to box stuff up. You got to take it there. You got to unload it from the vehicles, and then it sits there for a month until you can get at it. That's a lot of work. That's a lot of work and a lot of stress. It disrupts your whole lifestyle for some time. All right? And so there's many things that in our lives can cause stress. And when we stress, it manifests itself, it comes out in many, many different ways, all right? Now, it's a well-known fact that continued chronic stress can cause cancer, can cause illness in many, many different ways. The body does not deal well with stress, okay? So it's really important for us to find ways to dispel that, to help to get rid of that stress. And there's things that we can do physically to eliminate or lessen the amount and the effects of stress on our lives, right? And so let's hear again what you think some of the things that you could do to help eliminate stress. Let's hear them. Okay, exercise, forgiveness, yes, both of those very, very good. Others? Prayer, praising God, yes, absolutely. What? Quiet time with God, absolutely. Others? What things can we do to alleviate stress?
Thinking positively,
yes. Somebody else was back here? Get rid of the source of the stress. Get rid of your husband. Get rid of your kids. Get rid of your job. No stress. Get rid of all the people in your life. There'll be no more stress. Sister, I just had to do that. I just had to do it. Dawn, you were saying what?
Then you have nobody
to blame. Yeah, right. Yeah. Yes, no scapegoat there. Other things that you can do to alleviate stress? Ask for help, absolutely.
Sleep.
Yes, very good. Somebody else?
Talk.
Huh? Talk, yes, yes. Brother?
Don't hang around people that bring you down.
Yes, absolutely. All right, yes.
Have pets.
Have pets, absolutely.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Okay, sometimes changing your strategy about the way you do things, yes. Others? Take a vacation, okay? Somebody else?
Don't worry.
Don't worry, all right? Yep.
I got one, brother.
Yes.
Have a relationship with God through
A relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Yes, these are all excellent, excellent things. The trouble is, we don't do it. We don't do it. Yeah? Yeah, there's a commercial out now that says, the trouble with your workout is you're not doing it. That's absolutely right. Okay? The trouble with your workout is you ain't doing it. All right? But yes, physical exertion is an excellent stress reliever. Okay? Excellent stress reliever. I've found that myself. It helps to make you feel physically better. And when you're exerting yourself and you're breathing hard, your heart is pumping, it helps you to feel better. It relieves that stress that's built up in your muscles. And how many of you know that stress will settle itself in your muscles and other things? All right? And you'll get these knots maybe in your back or your neck. All right? And they're painful. All right? And then pretty soon, before you even know it, you're hunching up like this. All right? And you can your shoulder, you feel it right in your shoulders. Sometimes your face. All right? You can tell sometimes when somebody is stressed out, can't you? You can see it in their face. Yeah? Right? You can see that their face is tensed up. Okay? And we carry those things around with us. And we're not really sure how to get rid of them. Sometimes, even though you try to change the situation, you try to address it, sometimes it just kind of hangs on. Yeah? What can we do as children of God? Now, we need to understand this, okay? Children of God have certain rights. Yeah? We are in the lineage, if you will, of royalty. You ever thought about that? We have a king for a father. Yeah? We are, if we believe in him and we receive him, we are, the Bible says, given the right to become his children. So then, if we are his children, We are heirs, we are co-heirs with Christ, the Bible says. Yeah? So that means if we are heirs, that we will be inheriting something. Right? The Bible talks a lot about keeping ourselves in a place free, if you will, from anxiety. Can you believe that? Some people say the Bible is not relevant for today. One of the main things that I have been finding is that people are having more and more a difficult time dealing with stress. And so we've got all of these technological advancements. And trust me, I love technology. And I like the latest of all of the things, you know, and I like that stuff. But it doesn't make your life simpler. It doesn't make your life stress-free. It doesn't. Okay? I have a really good phone. It's not the latest phone, but it's a good phone. But because of that phone, I have access to literally 1,000 people. Okay? That doesn't seem like a really bad thing. However, they have access to me. Okay? All right? And the same with you. You have access to hundreds, if not thousands, of people, and they have access to you all the time. Okay? And so it creates, and you feel an obligation to answer their request. You feel an obligation to like what they put on Facebook or to respond to their texts and so on and so forth. And so so the time that you would have where at one time in the life, if you will, of technology, where you would be on the phone once, maybe twice a day for who knows how long, maybe a short amount of time or a long amount of time, but it was over and it was done with, and you didn't really think about it until the next time you called someone. Now, because of this, all day long, many of us are texting. We are on Facebook. We are on social media. And we are busy, busy, busy. And when we do have some time to just be quiet, we don't know what to do with ourselves. Do you find that? What do I do now that I've got a few minutes? Well, I'm going to jump on Facebook and see what's going on. And so the few minutes that you would have just to take a breather and allow maybe even God to speak to you, we fill it up with stuff. Yeah? We fill it up with stuff. And if it's not our phones, it's something else. We got to turn on a TV. It's too quiet in my house. I got to turn on a TV. Okay? And so on. You understand where I'm going. Okay? And so the times that we would have maybe being outside, we've got headphones in our ears. And there's this constant need to have quiet filled with something. Yeah? And trust me, I find myself doing that as well. And I'm either filling it with TV or music or something else, you know, where has the quiet gone? It's gone. There ain't much quiet anymore. And so, I wonder, where is God supposed to speak in the midst of all of the busyness? Where is he supposed to interject there? What time do we have where God can speak to us? You know, we got work, we got family, we got church, we got this, we got that, and whatever time that we do have that's not scheduled, we're filling it up purposefully with something else. Okay? And I'm not saying that it's wrong or it's bad. I'm just saying that's the way it is in our lives today. Okay? What time, where is God supposed to get a word in edgewise when there's so much chaos and ruckus going on in our lives? And so the Bible talks about anxiety. All right? The Bible says, let's put this scripture up there, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in all things, through what? Prayer and petition, make your requests known to God. So what that's saying is to don't worry about the stuff, okay, but bring it to God instead. Bring it to him. Okay? Make your requests known to God with thanksgiving. All right? Now, thanksgiving, you'll find, is really, really important. Thanksgiving, it's hard to be anxious when you're thanking God. And I've spoken to you about this before, and I've made this a quest in my life. Honestly, before God, I tell you this, the truth, that this has been a struggle for me, okay? And so now I'm training myself, and I'm getting better at it, but I'm training myself, and you may have heard me respond to you, some of you, with this. When you feel anxiety or when you feel anger or fear, begin to thank God in something related to that situation. Okay? And, and I've used this example before. And if you're outside, you're working on something or a car or you're inside, I don't know, whatever, you know, things that you're doing, and there's a stressful situation there, okay? Ladies, you're baking and you find out that you've got no baking soda. You've got everything put together. All you need is a half a teaspoon of baking soda, but you don't have it, okay? And you're like, what am I going to do? I've got people coming over. I've got no baking soda. What am I going to do? And you can feel that stress just building up. And pretty soon, the pans are clanking together, and you're throwing stuff on the counter. Now you got to get dressed because you're in your bummy clothes. You got to get dressed. You got to go down to the store. You got to drive. And there's traffic involved. Now you got to stand in a line after you get this one thing. And Rita is standing in front of you. She's got two carts full of stuff. And all you need is baking soda. You follow me? So in that situation, what can you do? Well, you can begin to thank God. Crazy thought, isn't it? Thoughts like, thank you, God, that I've got everything else except for the baking soda. Thank you, God, that my friends and my family are coming over today. Thank you that I've got a car to get down to the store to wait in line behind Rita, who has two carts full of stuff, and so on and so forth, okay? So you follow me. So you're beginning to thank God in the situation for things that are might be related to the situation. They might not be. But what you're doing is you're changing your focus. You're beginning to thank God in the midst of a difficult situation. And trust me, when you're doing that, the anxiety, the anger, the fear will dissipate, I promise you. Okay? And so you train yourself to think thankfully. Okay? Some of the ways that we can relieve stress, this is a powerful one. You're training yourself to think thankfully. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 46, verses 1 through 4. Do you have your Bibles today? All right. Psalm chapter 46, verses 1 through 4 and 10 through 11. Listen to this, and let this, the word of God is like a healing balm. What is a healing balm? A healing balm is like A&D ointment. You remember A&D ointment? Or maybe a triple antibiotic ointment these days that you would put on a sore or a cut of some sort, right? The word of God is like a healing balm. It just brings peace and it heals. Yeah? Verse 1, God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. The river of life. Praise the Lord. God's word is applicable for today. It is effective in our lives if we will but apply it, if we will but read it, if we will but ingest it, if you will. In John chapter 14, verse 27. John chapter 14, verse 27. Jesus knew that he was going to be leaving his disciples. And he knew that it was going to bother them, that it would make them anxious, that it would even make them fear and feel lost. Okay? He knew that they would be shaken. And he wanted to comfort them. And so this is what he says. I'm going to start in verse 25. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Now listen to this. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. He leaves us his peace. We are not meant to carry all of the world's burdens. We are not meant to carry burdens, period. We are meant to lay them down at the feet of Jesus Christ. Amen. And sometimes that is an ongoing thing every day. The Bible says that he who would come after me must take up his cross and follow me. You know what that means? Daily. Must take up his cross daily and follow me. We have to carry that cross daily. Every day we got to pick that thing up and carry it. Okay? But our burdens we leave at the feet of Jesus Christ. Daily we do that. But Jesus says, I leave you my peace, not as the world gives it, but my peace I leave with you. He doesn't want us to be worried. All right? He doesn't want us to fear. He doesn't want us. So let's say we talked about finances. All right? That's probably one of many households that topic causes stress, wouldn't you say? Money. Okay? So you've got bills coming up. Maybe you don't have enough to pay those bills. Maybe whatever the case is, okay? Tax time is coming. You've got to pay taxes, and that can be a stressful thing. The house payment is coming up, the mortgage payment, and so on and so forth. And how are we going to pay for this? All right? And so that worry about where that money is coming from creates fear, because if you don't pay it, somebody's going to call you on the phone and say, hey, George, where is my money? Okay? And so it creates this anxiety. How do we respond to that? How do we respond? Well, we can exercise, but that bill's still going to have to be paid. We can do some of these other things, but that bill's still going to be there. How do we respond to that? Well, we can take that need to the Lord. You understand? We can take that need to the Lord. We can begin to thank him before the money is even there. Isn't that weird? So you mean to tell me, Pastor, that I'm thanking God for money that is not even there yet? Yep, exactly. So what you're doing is you're praying into existence the answer that you need. Amen. That's what happens. We need to pray into existence the answer. We need to pray into existence God's provision. Yeah? And so we thank God. Thank you, Jesus. And you know what? We can involve a brother or sister, and we can pray together. Lord Jesus, I bring this need before you. I need your help. I need you to provide for me in this area. Thank you, Lord, for making the difference. Thank you for providing whatever I need. Thank you that the answer is on the way. So we're thanking God in advance. Amen. All right? Not to twist his arm to answer us, but so that we're corralling our doubt. Right? We're corralling our doubt and we're forcing ourselves to believe. You understand? And so we begin to thank God in the midst of our need for his provision that is to come. The Bible says that my God shall supply all of your needs according to what? his riches in glory. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. What are his riches in glory? Everything, everything. God has given him his only son. He's given him everything. So my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. That's how he provides. Would you turn to Matthew chapter 11? Are you with me this morning?
Yes, sir.
Matthew chapter 11. When you go home today, I want you to take some of these things and I want you to apply them to your lives. If you need to, do you know that we have CDs recorded of the service? All right, some of the CDs nowadays are even almost becoming obsolete. But we have CDs that we record the service on. You can put them in your computer. You can put them in your car and so on and so forth. And you can listen to the services. But I want you to take these things and apply them to your lives. Get used to using them. These are tools in your hand to help you live a better life. Do you understand? Some people will say, well, Pastor, you're talking about stuff that doesn't really pertain. I want to hear the word of God, man. I want to hear. Well, don't you understand? This is part of the Christian life. This is part of it. I have friends and brothers and sisters that say, well, I just want to hear the word of God and the word and nothing else. If you don't apply these things, we're taking the tools from the Word of God to apply them to everyday life. That's what the Word of God is for. Amen. That's what the Word of God is for, to apply it to our lives to help us live in more obedience to God. Amen. Do you understand? That's what it is for, to help us live in obedience to God. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me. Now listen to this beckoning. Listen to this. Come. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Are you weary and burdened? Stress will make you feel like that, won't it? It'll burden you down and you feel like nothing's going your way. Even when something good happens, it feels like, oh, nothing's going to last. My life is worthless. I hear people talk like that. I hear Christians talk like that. That's not what God wants for you, friends. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That's what we want, isn't it? Isn't that what we want? To be able to lay it down and not have to worry anymore. And he says, in response to our anxiety, to our fear, to our worries, to our stress, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Where does that rest come from? The Lord. The rest comes from the Lord. 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Take my yoke upon you. Now, this is painting a picture, if you will, if there is two oxen, okay? So when the people of this time were hearing these words of Jesus, when he mentioned the word yoke, they would think, okay, of oxen that are yoked together, all right, and it's got two holes where each ox would put their head through, okay, and they're hooked together, all right. Now notice he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So in a sense he's saying, my head is in one side of the yoke, your head's in the other side of the yoke, I'm going to lead you and I'm going to teach you. Do you understand? That's what he's saying. Learn from me. Take my yoke upon you. He says, my burden is light. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. All right? So we're yoked together with the Lord, and he's teaching us how to live. And in even today, people will use oxen or horses, and they'll use the yoke to teach a newer animal how to plow the field, how to disc the field, how to follow, how to know where to go. Eventually, that new one will learn from the older, experienced one how to respond to the master's different reins. You understand? Different controls from the reins. And so the master is the one in charge, but we are learning from one who is experienced. And so Jesus is saying, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I want to teach you. Will you yoke yourself with me? Will you bind yourself to me so that I can teach you how to live your life? A better life. A life of obedience. A life of peace. A life of joy. A life of fulfillment. That's what God wants to do. All who are weary, all who labor and are heavy burdened, come to me. Come to me, and I will give you rest. You got to know where to go to get rest, friends. And I'm not talking physical rest, though that's really important, okay? It's important to get our rest, all right? But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about spiritual rest. Okay? When we are still, and back in that verse, Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Just shh, shh. Yeah, but I got this bill that's going to shh. Yeah, but somebody's calling me on the phone. Shh. Shh. Be still and know that I am God. And we gotta learn to trust, because it's hard to be still and know that he is God and without trusting. We gotta be able to trust him. And you know what? Trust is earned, is it not? Trust is something that is earned. We don't just trust somebody without them being tried, all right? Sometimes we do, and we pay the price for it, right? But trust is earned. And so we learn to trust somebody as they prove themselves. Maybe first you'll have them do something simple, or with a friend, you'll trust them with a little secret. You trust them with a little secret just to test the waters a little bit, just to see if they're going to pass it on to every Joe Schmo around, right? And if they keep their mouth shut, then you know that you can trust them with a little bit more. Well, with God, we learn to trust him with things in our lives that are dear to us. The Bible says, cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. Do you know that he cares for you? Honestly, deeply, sacrificially, he cares for you. Cast your cares upon him. And in those days, that would be a reference to, in a sense, casting a net from the side of a boat. Cast your cares as you would cast this net out, away from the boat. And if you would take your cares and just cast them on the water. Trust in the Lord. Let him give you rest. He leaves us with his peace that only he can give. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things, with prayer and thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Bring your worries, your fears, your struggles, your anger, your temptations, bring them to God and keep bringing them. Sometimes certain things we can just lay down and just, it's done. Other times we have to keep bringing that to God. And eventually, after we keep bringing that to God, eventually it goes away. But we've got to learn to be able to trust Him. We've got to be able to learn to how we do that, how we lay those things down, how we entrust Him with those things that are dear to us, that worry us and stress us out. The Word of God has the answers. We just need to apply them to our lives. Do you know there's a scripture in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, I believe it is, if you want to turn there. Let's turn there. And beginning in chapter 25, it's talking about this very thing about worrying. Okay? And basically says, who by worrying can add a single hour to their lives? Who by worrying, it's like if we worry, it's going to help us to deal with the problem. No, it does not. And trust that to God. Let Him take care of it. Thank you, God, that you're providing for this need. Thank you in advance. I bring this to you. I bring my need to you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. In verse 33, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you as well. All what things? All the things that are causing you to worry, to doubt, to fret, to fear, to be angry, to stress. God will add all of those things unto you if you seek Him first. Isn't that beautiful? But we got to seek Him first. We got to seek Him first. Therefore, verse 34, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Tell me the Bible is not applicable today. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Don't worry about tomorrow. I remember having just such a difficult time when I was first on disability because of my back situation. That went on. I thought maybe in a year I'd be able to get back to work, and I liked my job. I liked working hard. I liked the pay I was getting. I liked the responsibility. I thought maybe in a year I'd be able to get back. 15 years later, I was out of work. And through that time, I was learning to trust God. I was learning to trust Him with things that were dear to me. I was learning to trust Him with the new house payment I had. I was learning to trust Him with the new baby that came. I was learning to trust Him with the bills that were coming in, and I couldn't work. And I learned. And I think we continue to learn, don't we? We continue to learn. But I just remember that fretful feeling, knowing all these bills are coming in and the money is not. And there's nothing I can do about it. There's nothing I could do about it. My back was against the wall. But friends, let me tell you something. When your back is against the wall, Jesus really shines. He shines. And it's in our weakness that He is shown to be strong. Hallelujah. He is shown strong in our weakness. Don't you worry. Don't you worry. You belong to Him. Amen. You are His. He knows what's going on in your lives. He is well aware of the situation. And he is your daddy. And if we'll go to him, he will give us rest. He will take the burden. He will answer our prayers. Sometimes those prayers are answered differently than what we're asking. Okay? But he always, always, always works it out. He always answers. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no. Yeah, we got to be ready for that. Sometimes it's no. Sometimes it's not right now. Yeah? Sometimes you need to wait a little while. I want you to trust me. And he'll do that. He will stretch your trust. He will stretch your faith till you think, I can't do this. I'm going to burst. I'm going to break. I'm going to rip. Yeah? And then he comes through at 11:59. Do you understand what I'm saying? Just before 12 o'clock, 11:59, he comes through. And you say, oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. We made it through this one. And the next time something happens, you're a little stronger and you trust God a little bit more. You're able to handle that situation. You learn how to battle. You learn how to trust. You learn how to tap into your faith. Faith is important to God. More important than anything else. Faith is important to God. Amen. I want to pray here today. And we're gonna say a prayer about being anxious. And so if you feel so inclined, pray these words with me out loud. And let's together ask God to help in these areas. Okay? Can we do that? Let's do that. So pray together with me out loud. Dear Lord Jesus, today I recognize my need for you. I struggle with anxiety. Sometimes fear. Sometimes anger. Today I bring these things to you. Help me to trust you. Help me to have faith. Give me guidance. Give me strength. Help me to leave these things in your care. And right now, specifically, I bring my needs to you. And I thank you for answering my prayer. And for providing for my need. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now let's hold ourselves and each other to those prayers. Amen.